Ladies and gentlemen.
Columbia.
You're listening to Pacific Town Sound Radio.
Hello and welcome to Pacific Sound Radio, your go-to source for everything happening in the Vancouver music scene. I'm James Olson.
And I'm Travis Noel.
Today on the show, we'll be talking with Ed Lamb, member of the local grunge band Cry of Silence, as well as the cover band The Naturals. A band that hosts a catalog of 400-plus songs and are the house band for Rock Aoki Live. Then we'll be joined by indie folk pop artist Stephanie Radcliffe. Stephanie Radcliffe. If you like what you hear and are in the area, you can catch Stephanie perform in the Persephone Snug immediately after this broadcast. Get here early, seating is limited, and we will be starting right at 6 p.m. And now on to the weekly roundup. Travis, what do you got?
All right, well, first up in the news, we got the Western Canadian Music Alliance has announced the winners of the Western Canadian Music Artistic Awards. The awards were part of the Breakout West Festival in Kelowna. Congratulations, of course, to all recipients, but, you know, an extra special congratulations to all the BC artists who won, including Blues Artist of the Year, Harpoonist and the Axe Murderer.
Who I actually didn't know who were from BC, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great live show if you ever get the chance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Classical Composer of the Year, Jocelyn Morlock. Pop Artist of the Year, Dear Rouge. Producer of the Year, Ryan Worsley from Echo Plant Sound. Rap Hip Hop Artist of the Year, Snotty Nose Rez Kids. Songwriters of the Year, Dear Rouge, they're with Chains. Urban Artist of the Year, Haven. Video Director of the Year, Stefan Burrell. Brass Tack Films for the Harpoonist and the Axe Murderer, Forever Fool. And one that's pretty relevant today, the Spiritual Artist of the Year, today's guest, Stephanie Radcliffe.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And other news, good news for the band 5440. Last week, we mentioned that they had their gear stolen from a U-Haul van in New West. Earlier this week, the New West police recovered 5 of the 7 stolen guitars. There's a description of the still missing 2 guitars, a Gibson SJ200 acoustic guitar, serial number 877023, with aftermarket Fishman soundhole pickup in a polyacoustic case, and a Gibson Dove acoustic guitar with aftermarket LR Beggs soundhole pickup in a polyacoustic case. Hopefully they're found, and if you accidentally bought one of those for really cheap, now you know why.
Yep. And,
Return it.
It'd be great if you could return it to 5440.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some pretty big news coming out of SoundCloud. They're expanding their direct monetization program, SoundCloud Premier. It was previously invite-only, but now it'll be available to anyone with SoundCloud Pro or Pro Unlimited for the creators to upload eligible content. Eligible content will be users with over 5,000 streams from the past month, and they promise to meet or beat payouts from other streaming services and provide monthly payments to creators.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be great to see more revenue streams.
And it sounds like SoundCloud's done a good job at adapting, because they were on the verge of bankruptcy like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just, sounds like they've just figured out a way to things work.
Yeah, they're introducing like subscriptions and ads and stuff like that. But if it works, it works.
Well, because, and I think the premier service is kind of becoming the way, because YouTube, to cite another example, is starting to heavily promote their YouTube Premiere.
Yeah, and like the good thing about the SoundCloud one is you can upload your music directly. You don't have to go through one of those outside sources.
Like CD Baby or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, and we talked about this earlier on the show, where Spotify's trying to roll out something similar to that.
Yeah, rolling that out. Just still invite only, I think, and only in the U.S.
Yeah, and I imagine SoundCloud and other streaming services that aren't Spotify are probably going to try and use artist compensation as a form of leverage, which I think is a great thing to use. Like, hey, we'll pay you more than Spotify.
No, we pay you more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, as long
That's
as cool they're not stuff. Like, you can only upload here.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's it's another thing to think about is whether they'll get to the point where instead of artists releasing their, having contracts with record labels, whether it'll be like you have contracts with a streaming service.
Well, I think it's only a matter of time until streaming services are their own record label, in a way.
Yeah.
I know Spotify was planning on it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they revisit that.
Mm.
Or especially, like, if you have artists. I know artists have put out, like, exclusive content on iTunes before.
Yeah, they do, like, exclusive Spotify sessions and stuff like that,
too. Yeah.
Lots to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the news. On to the concerts. Tonight, Sunday, October 14th, immediately after our show today in the Persephone Snug, you can see Stephanie Ratcliffe. Pay what you can. 100% of anything you put in the donation jar goes to the artist. The beer is delicious. Have the mocha porter.
Ooh, mocha porter. I haven't had that yet.
You weren't here last week.
No, I was, I was up in Kelowna.
It's the most delicious liquid I put in my mouth. In the while.
That's a winning endorsement.
Yeah. Other concerts. Teyon Gibbs is playing a show at Guilt & Co. Tanner Olsen Band is at the Roxy with Rumor Mill in Colmont.
No relation?
No?
Never mind.
I didn't
Keep going.
Okay. Monday, October 15th, Just Fire is going to be hosting one of many, the first of many open mic Mondays at the Railway.
Do we know who's performing?
No, it's an open mic. Go sign up. Yes.
Okay.
Tuesday, October 16th, you can catch the Ponderosas at Calabash Bistro. Wednesday, October 17th, Matt Storm is having an EP release at the Railway. If not, Winter is at the Roxy with Deeds and Lady Mystics. Thursday, October 18th, Ursa Day is going to be at the Railway with El Wolf, Victoria Staff, and Wesley Atiu.
And let's see, Lana Winterholt will be performing at the Roxy with Curry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking towards Friday, Best in Vancouver Night 4 is at the Railway featuring Antoinette in the latest Little Fix, Muscle and Gall in the Break. You and I are going to be there.
Yeah, we're going to be judges for both the Friday and the Saturday show, which we will talk about in a little bit. It should be fun.
Yeah,
looking forward to. I don't know any of the bands playing on the Friday, so. No. That'll be a pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to even go so far as to make a point to not check them out in any capacity beforehand. I want to be completely fresh walking into that show. So
yeah, a lot of what we're going to be judging on is based on the performance.
Okay.
More so than the music, I think.
Which is
fair.
Fair.
That way it's not like, I like this kind of music more.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's in a live setting. That's all that matters, quite frankly.
Yeah. Also on Friday, Spendo and the Skins are at the Roxy with Mike Machado Trio. And kind of unique event, Other, is it Guilt & Co.?
Is that a band or a thing? Or
it's, I'm not really sure what it is. Ryan Gildemond and I think a couple of Mother members are going to be doing something.
The event, oh, now I get it. Yeah, Other.
Yeah, the event was super confusing to read, but it sounds pretty cool. Not sure what it is, but it's probably music related. Might just be Ryan Gildemond talking.
Maybe they're doing like a broken social scene or Odd Future, like music collective art, performance art extravaganza. Who knows? Who knows what it could be?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You should go and find out.
Yeah.
Saturday, October 20th. You want to take this one?
Yeah, sure. So, Best in Vancouver Night 5 will be at the Railway. We'll be there. Featuring Major Fantasy, Sleepy Gonzalez, Travis James, and Friday Night Fires.
Mm-hmm.
That one's going to be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
That one's going to be more tough because I actually know some of the bands. So I'm like, okay, gotta wear the objective hat.
Yeah. You can head to the Ellis Building to see Haley Blay, Harlequin Gold, and Abraham.
I wish I could go to this next show, but I will be judging at the Railway for Best in Vancouver. Blue Jays opening up for Twilight Sad at the Biltmore.
Mm-hmm. Sam Balson, Cassidy Waring, and Wesley Atiu are going to be at the Heatley.
Is that his second show? this week?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley's busy.
Mm-hmm.
And Los Duendes is at Gilt & Co.
Mm-hmm.
Very busy Saturday.
Pretty solid week.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. And I know where we'll be. I know where we will be on Friday and Saturday. I might hit up another show on Wednesday, so yeah. Goodbye, my paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So, for our first headliner, Leisure Club are back with another stunning pop number. Summer may be over, even though it doesn't feel like it. But this latest cut sounds like a tropical vacation. Be sure to check out the gorgeous music video for this track. This is Lowlight. Back, you're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was the latest single from Leisure Club called Lowlight. So for today's Pacific Sound Radio, we are joined by Ed Lamb. Ed is the guitarist and vocalist for the all-Asian rock band Cry of Silence, as well as a member of the cover band The Naturals, who hosts a live live karaoke events. He has won back-to-back Whammy Awards for Best Key Player and also hosts an annual Christmas concert as well as many other events. Please welcome to the show, Ed Lamb.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. So, Ed, how did you get your start in music?
Well, I chose to do music at the age of 10. I asked my parents if I could do piano lessons, and they said, yeah, by all means, go for it.
They didn't force them on you?
No. This is one of those rare cases where I was so inspired to do music because I've seen my sisters do piano lessons, and I've seen all these different students play their recitals. And I was just like, man, you know what? I want to do that too. So when I asked my parents about that, you know, they supported me 100% on that whole thing. And from playing my first piano recital to now playing at different stages around town, you know, I'm really happy where I am at now.
And when did you make the jump from piano to guitar?
It was during high school, I would say. The funny thing was, in my early years, I've also learned violin too, when I was also learning piano at the same time. But then I discovered playing guitar, and honestly, like, you know, with me growing up listening to my favorite rock bands like Guns N' Roses, Nirvana, Metallica, just to name a few, I really wanted to learn how to play songs from my favorite bands. So playing the electric guitar, playing the acoustic guitar and all that stuff, it got me into wanting to eventually leading up to playing in the band.
And at what point in your life did you decide you wanted to pursue music?
I think I've always wanted to do that since the time I turned 19, because one of my first onstage experiences I've done when I hit that age was I had a friend of mine that invited me to come to these awesome blues jams that they used to have at the Yale a long time ago. So they said, yeah, you know what? You know, the stage is open to anybody who wants to sign up, you know, as long as you know your blues and all that stuff, you know, go for it. So I did. And I've learned a lot just playing with a bunch of different jammers too at that time, right? You know, they've taught me a lot about, you know, like how to compliment songs when jamming with other people, and just learning some etiquettes of being on stage and how to talk to other musicians and all that stuff. So it really helped me a lot.
Yeah, definitely. So you're in the band Cry of Silence.
That's right.
How did that group come together?
Well, I started writing songs before I even formed the band many years ago, and so after I've managed to write a decent amount to record an album, I decided, you know what, I should perform this live. You know, I should actually form a band and get together and just showcase to the audience what I can do with these songs and with a full band. So the funny thing about that was it inadvertently became an all-Asian band, but the awesome thing was somebody came up to me and said, they said, dude, you know what, this is like a really sick idea, you know, having that all-Asian band, you know, just to represent, you know, just as an Asian representation, you know, you should really, you know, go for that. And I said, you know what, this is actually a good opportunity because, you know, we really want to inspire people from different cultures to, if they want to pursue music and especially playing in a rock band, you know, if they want to go for it, by all means. Why not?
I think it's kind of funny you mention that because I think they recently had a Best from Tokyo show.
That's
Best
right.
from Japan show this week, which I would have loved to have gone to. I didn't know that one of the people who works with us at Pacific Sound Radio, Lonica, was there. If I had known, I probably would have.
Was that the one at the Biltmore? Or?
That was at the Biltmore.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to those shows before, and the thing I loved about it is that it was just so outside the box. Like, I'm talking in terms of the live performers that were there. And so when I saw that for the first time, like this one group I saw, it's almost like J-pop meets baby metal, if that makes sense, right? And so they would kind of start off doing all these like pop beats, and all these girls were singing, and all of a sudden they get into like screamo mode, and then like all these like the sort of guitars popped up in the background out of nowhere, and I was just like, what in the hell is this? But at the same time, I'm just like, this is so awesome at the same, you know, because this is one of those opportunities where you can experience that whole thing where it's not like a traditional live performance, right? These are like independent, unsigned, outside-the-box artists who want to showcase what they want to do, and I'm really happy to experience that.
Yeah, and based off of the Japanese bands that I've listened to, I noticed a lot of virtuosity and a lot of technical proficiency regardless of what they're playing,
yeah,
which is really impressive.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
And how would you describe the Cry of Silence sound?
It's interesting. People have told us, based on what they've heard from our albums, they felt like it was a mixture between 90s alternative rock, grunge, mixed with like some new metal, some like a little bit of heavy modern rock too. And that's all basically based on the artists we listen to, that we grew up listening to, and that we enjoy. So, but the thing is, at the same time, we've been trying to go outside the box, you know, just like kind of finding more variety of sound, just to, you know, just to try out new things, because that's one of the things I really feel like every band should try to do, is explore new things in order to, you know, find your own sound. Or it can just be like, you know, well, try out some new ideas that comes to mind, and, you know, because you'll never know. If you don't try it, how's you going to know if it's going to take off or not?
And has that, I guess, desire to push yourselves and be a little bit more experimental, has that manifested on your latest release?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because, so as you know, we released our new EP called Community, right?
And yeah. And
in that said EP, we actually have two tracks that are purely instrumental. And I've just from all the local bands that I've known, there's such a small percentage of bands who actually touch base on that, just writing instrumentals too. Because for me, and you know, I was influenced by bands like Metallica, right? Like, they've written a good number of instrumentals too. And so did Pink Floyd and, you know, Tool, like bands like that. And so we figure, you know what, like, it's, instrumentals were a thing even like back in the ages of classical composers, right?
If you want that's to all it was.
Yeah, yeah, that's all it was. That's instrumentals, all it was. Yeah. And so we figured,
okay, with the exception of opera, but that's a whole
of
other,
course, yeah, yeah,
whole
yeah.
other topic.
Yeah, for sure. So, after us exploring the whole instrumental avenue too, I think it was there was no regrets on that for sure, you know. And we really want to do this to showcase our diversity. Right, we want to show these people, like, you know, this is what you guys can do too, right? It doesn't have to always be, you know, verse, bridge, chorus, end chorus, that kind of thing, right? Like most songs do. But so we figured, well, why not do something like an instrumental where, you know, you may have a familiar melody, but at the same time, you know, what you're doing is that you're showing off your capabilities on your instrument.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we're actually going to play the instrumental track from your latest EP.
That's right.
So the song's called Traffic Jam. What was, I don't know, do you have a kind of a theme in mind for this song?
Well, funny you mentioned that, because I was inspired, so genre-wise, this is kind of inspired by bands like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and the Foo Fighters, right? So a whole, like, upbeat, old-school style rock and roll. But at the same time, you know, we figured, you know, this is the kind of stuff that you can definitely picture, you know, if we were to submit this to a television or a film production or anything like that, we would kind of picture it maybe, say, during a car chase scene, or even as an advertisement for a new vehicle, for instance, right? Because this is, like, fast and upbeat, right? So we figured that this is something you can definitely listen to as you're driving.
Cool. All right, Travis, let's hear it. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Traffic Jam by Cry of Silence. And we're here in the studio with Ed Lamb, vocalist and guitarist of Cry of Silence.
Hi, hi, hi.
Hey, totally get what you were saying before we put on that song about it being kind of having a cinematic feel.
Yeah.
It does sound like something that you could throw in into like a movie or a video game or something like that.
Yeah. Or like I said, a commercial.
Yeah, that could also work. What car do you think it would advertise?
I'm going to say either Mitsubishi, maybe Nissan, one of those two.
had to be a Japanese brand.
It would have to be, yeah.
Honda, so. Toyota, yeah. Be on brand.
Yeah.
Let's see. You released the second half of the new Cry of Silence EP, Community, recently.
That's right.
What made you decide to release the EP in two halves?
Well, I figured, you know, just like how like other bands like System of a Down have done it too, right? Like what we want to do was keep creating that hype, right? So the first thing we did was that we released the first half of the EP, which we call Phase One, right? So Phase One is just basically like the first, you know, the first few songs that we want to showcase, and just, you know, so instead of just being like, you know, okay, here's the entire thing, here it is, have fun with it, kind of deal, we want to, you know, kind of like totally a little tease, but just not just for the sake of teasing, but just to create that hype, right? So we want to be like, okay, so here's the first half, you guys enjoy it, but wait, don't go away yet. We have more songs on the way that we want to show to you guys, and then after that, then you can enjoy the entire EP in its entirety.
Are you planning on like releasing a bridged version of the EP? So there's like the first half, the second half, and then like combined.
Well, pretty much like what's happening on Bandcamp already is that like now the entire EP is on there.
Okay,
so that's pretty much. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
And what was the writing recording process like for Community? I understand it was largely self-produced.
Yes, it is. Yes, but also a few other tracks were produced by other people too. And so the reason why, actually, this is a good leeway to the reason why it's called Community, is because it's a community-based album, which means for us, we wanted to showcase different producers, different people who are involved in our tracks too. So basically, in a way to put it, this is like a tribute to our local music scene here in Vancouver. And so, yes, a good chunk of it was produced by the band, but a couple of tracks were produced by a friend of ours named Justin Brown, who is an audio engineer. And there's also a couple produced by our friend named Brandon Wong, who used to be a student at Nimbus Recording School. And so we want to showcase that, right? We want to showcase the fact that, you know, we have like local talented producers who can record stuff, and also including students too, right? So as Nimbus, as I mentioned before, just to showcase that, and at the same time, we also wanted to showcase other people who've helped out on our tracks. So there was a couple of tracks that we have on our EP that include gang vocals, and all those people who helped out were supporters of the scene, so both like musicians and music fans in general.
And what's your connection with Nimbus? Because you mentioned that you were able to get a few students to produce a few of the tracks.
Well, that's the thing. So like, as I mentioned before, yeah, so our friend Brandon was the one who helped out record our stuff too. So, and that was the first time I've ever experienced being in Nimbus. And it's such a really cool facility, you know, because you see all these different kinds of gear, right? All the guitar amps, right? All the drums, you know, all these cool, like, you know, like the cool mixers and all that stuff that was there. I was just like, wow, this is like, you know, this is so amazing, because like, you know, the guy who created Nimbus, Garth Richardson, you know, this is the same guy who produced all these big bands in the past, including like Rage Against the Machine, you know, have a big name there. So, that experience was just so amazing, because like, I'm just like, wow, like they have like this, you know, top notch, recording software and all that stuff, and just knowing that all these students here are, you know, learning the basics of like sound and just recording in general. And I think, you know, this is a, you know, really cool experience for us to go through that.
Yeah, for sure. So you won a Whammy Award for Best Keys Player 2 years in a row. For listeners who don't know, what are the Whammies? I also don't know what the Whammies are.
Okay, well, the Whammies is basically a local music awards presentation. So this is just a way for them to pay tribute to the local scene, rather than, you know, like, because they named it after the Grammys, right? Because it's, they decide that, you know, like, the Grammys always pays honors, like, the big tycoons in the mainstream scene. But what the Whammies does is that they don't just recognize the musicians. The funny thing about it is that they also do things like paying a tribute to different categories, like, for instance, like best bouncer at a live music venue, best bartender at a music venue, and also best door person too, which is really hilarious, but also awesome at the same time.
So who hosts the Whammies? Like, who's behind the award show itself?
Well, the people that run it are the crew from Suno Studios, and also from hope I get this right, Apocalypse Sunrise. I think that's the name of the.
Oh, the, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So those are the guys who run it every year, and so yeah, and so it was a really fun experience just knowing that us locals, us like unsigned locals especially, you know, we actually have the opportunity to to honor all the people here who work hard in the scene, you know, and it's even the sound people too. There's even the category for best sound guy, best sound engineer, all that stuff too. And it's a really fun experience because like this is like a non-traditional award show where you don't have to dress formal at the event too. You can even like wear costumes. Like I've seen some guy wear like a mustard costume. I saw somebody wear like a ketchup costume, and you know, and like even like I saw this like this one guy who won best guitar player. He was wearing like a skeleton mask and all that stuff. So I didn't know who he was, but it was awesome just seeing that, right? So yeah.
And so, you know, the word you received, the two words that you received have been for your work as a keyboard player. So
that's
is
right,
that in
yeah.
recognition of the work you've done with the Naturals?
I would say, yeah, with both avenues, actually. So, and just even just myself as a piano player in general, just because, like, I've done a lot of collaborations with various artists in the past, right? And one of the things I've also done with the Naturals was, yeah, like, we've done a lot of like piano driven songs, right? So whether it be Elton John or, you know, Billy Joel or anybody like that, you know, it's a really fun experience to do that live. But besides the Naturals too, like, you know, I've even like, you know, gone to like various like open mic jam nights, right? Where they, I would play like going back to what I mentioned when I used to play the Yale when I was 19, I was on a Hammond organ, so that was like my main instrument of choice at the time, because back then there wasn't like a whole lot, like there was like a huge pile of guitar players that wanted to play at the jams, right? A huge pile of bass players, huge pile of drummers for sure,
mm-hmm.
and harmonica players, but there was not a whole lot of people that wanted to play the Hammond organ. So I was one of the very few people that actually got the chance to go up there, and I had a lot of fun doing it, you know. And it's just amazing to experience such a thing where, like, you know like to touch an instrument that probably barely got played at the time.
And so kind of on that, your cover band's called the Naturals, and how did that group come together?
Well, it all started actually when I was playing with my friend named Jarrett Plett. So, so you may have also recognized him from the group Sons of Granville. They would busk on Granville Street regularly before, back in the day. And so Jarrett and I, we started playing together, and then leading way to our main project, we actually do live band karaoke. And so Jarrett and I, we started playing together, and we actually had a bartender at this bar that we used to play at. He would say to me, "Hey, you know, you guys know like loads of songs. You know, you guys know like a lot of them. So you should do like something like, you know, like karaoke, except with a live band, right?" And so that's how we formed it. And so it's all thanks to our bartender friend at the time who gave us that idea.
And how does live band karaoke work exactly? I imagine most listeners are probably familiar with, you know, looking at a screen and singing over some pre-recorded tracks that sound pretty bad.
Well, so this goes beyond traditional karaoke, as you mentioned before, right? So in Rockioke, what we do is that we have a list of songs that we know how to play as a whole band, right? And we also have a host who is also our vocalist too. So we give you guys a big list of songs that we know how to play, and so you just select a song that you want to do. You talk to the host. Host signs you up, and after that, we call you up when it's your turn, and you just come up on stage and just rock it out. And so, in terms of lyrics, we actually have an iPad of the lyrics that you just read from. And so, yeah, that's pretty much about it.
Cool.
You just have a good time.
Yeah. Are there any songs that you find that people request a little too often? You're like, oh God, not this one again.
So, I'll tell you the ones that are a huge karaoke favorite. I mean, there's a big list of them, but I'll narrow it down to maybe say the top five. Okay, so I would say number one, of course, is "Don't Stop Believing" by Journey.
Yeah,
yeah. And number two, "Sweet Caroline."
That's also not surprising.
Yep. And then I think if I were to choose number three, I would say "Crocodile Rock" by Elton John. Yeah, so that's another one. Number four, it really depends, but on the crowd. But I would say it would be "Sympathy for the Devil."
Hmm.
Yeah, for the Stones crowd.
You got bongos for that one?
Actually, you know, it's so funny. The one live show we did at a railway back in the day, we had this really cool lady named JoJo who would come up and actually bring her own bongos, and she would actually play it as she was singing the song with us.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was amazing, yeah. And then, so number five, I could be wrong about this. You know, the guys can correct me later on if they want to, but just from my personal experience, people always want to do "Smells Like Teen Spirit" by Nirvana.
Huh. I'm surprised that neither Piano Man nor Bohemian Rhapsody were in that top five.
No. But although, like, the funny thing was, yeah, we had people do Piano Man with me before, but it doesn't get chosen as often as, say, "Smells Like Teen Spirit."
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised at the "Smells Like Teen Spirit" pick, but maybe that's just my personal. It's not a sort of song that I'd ever pick for karaoke, but
right.
Again, I have my own.
Yeah,
I have my own specific
yeah.
karaoke songs.
But, I mean, my only assumption for that is probably because, like, you know, like with a full rock band behind you, right? It's probably the perfect opportunity to sing something as heavy
as
Nirvana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess if I was to sing, I'd sing any other Nirvana song except for that. But that's just me.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of your next events is the Spooky Karaoke Burlesque Party this Halloween at Lanaloo's. What can listeners expect from this event?
Okay, so actually what this is, this show is called Halloween Havoc. And what it is that it's on October 26th, Friday night, at Lanaloo's.
I was thinking of a completely different show.
Uh oh, okay.
I saw karaoke in the title, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At Lanaloo's, or did I just bring up a completely different show?
You might have brought up a completely different show.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it sounds interesting, though.
Tell us about Halloween Havoc, which you're actually playing.
Okay, so Halloween Havoc, it's a live show at Lanaloo's. So it's gonna be, myself. As the main guy, as the main performer, backed up by two amazing people. Actually, Jarrett from Rockioki, he's going to be backing me up on drums. And I also got another friend named Warren who's going to be playing bass with us, too. And so for this one, we're actually going to be having, like, I'm going to be playing two sets of mainly, like, straight-up, like, heavy-hitting rock music. So it's going to be, like, both, like, classic rock, and we're going to bring up some grunge, pop punk, and also some, like, good old-fashioned hair metal, too. So, including, like, you know, Judas Priest, Twisted Sister, Kiss, you know, not to spoil this.
You guys better dress the part. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I know, exactly, right? But then, at the same time, you know, we're also going to bring up some great classic rock, too, like, including, like, the Beatles, and we're also going to be doing, like, I won't give away our entire set, but just to name a few, right? So, like, the Beatles and even, like, Tragically Hip, just to bring up the Canadian content part of things.
Cool.
Yeah, and then our opening band before us, we're going to have a really incredible punk group called, they're pretty new too, they're called Burn the Ending, and they're going to be the opening act first, and then after that, it's going to be myself and the two boys, and we're going to rock out the rest of the night.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and I should also mention that we will be giving away prizes for best costumes, so we're telling everybody right now to please bring your A game on the costume part of things, because you will receive some really sweet prizes.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
You've also hosted Christmas shows for a few years.
Yeah,
do you have
right.
one coming up this year?
Yeah. It hasn't been... I'll give you guys a little preview of what's going to be happening. So this year, it will be the fifth annual Eddie Lamb and Friends Christmas concert. And I got this idea many moons, the first one 5 years ago, where I based it off. I got this idea after watching Michael Bublé's Christmas specials that he had on television. And I figured, okay, so he always has all these like big celebrity guest stars singing Christmas carols with him, right? And after watching that, I was just like thinking, well, wouldn't it be awesome if I can do something like this, but except have local musicians be the guest stars instead, right? Mm-hmm. And singing all these songs with me and all that. So the first time I put it on, we had it at the late great Wired Monk in Kitsilano. That used to be around on was it on West 4th, I think? Yeah, on West 4th a long time ago. So, but then fast forward, like after that first show, it was a great success. Just to mention that too, like I was really happy with the way it turned out. So people have told me to make it a yearly tradition, and so the following year, up to last year, I've had those Christmas shows at the Tipper on Kingsway in Victoria. And so it was such a fun experience just to do that, because this was a great way for us to not only have that, you know, that holiday cheer, but just to bring that local scene, that local community together, right? Because you know we all fight the same battles, you know, with us, you know, being unsigned local independent musicians, right? But you know we want to form that community to help support each other, to showcase everyone's talent and what they can do, what they can bring to the table. And with this year being the fifth year doing the Christmas shows, I'm really excited about it already. Like I've already like got the plans going. And so, I'm going to be saying the date pretty soon. Like I'll be announcing it pretty soon, but, cause we haven't passed Halloween yet. So we got to get through that first before we start getting to Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, Gotta start planning now, but yeah, don't start promoting Christmas stuff until after Remembrance Day. That's bad form.
Yeah, exactly, right, yeah. So, yeah.
Are there any bands, artists, or local industry folks that you'd recommend we bring on the show for a future episode?
Yeah, you know, I could list the ones that I would really recommend that you should check out just in general, too. I've done a show with these guys quite a number of times since last year. So these guys are brand new to the scene. They're called It Ends With Us, and they're an all-Filipino band from Vancouver.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. And they just released a music video not too long ago, too. In fact, they were actually one of the opening bands at our EP release party last month.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the band that's going to be opening for me at Halloween Havoc, this is Burn the Ending. So make sure you check these guys out. They're on Facebook. Another band I would also recommend to, they're called Chief State.
And heard of them.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the local pop punk guys,
mm-hmm.
killing it. Actually, in fact, they've opened for Set It Off when they came to town to Biltmore like a couple months ago. And so, and Chief State just came back from their American tour not too long ago, too. So, yeah, great guys. You know, and so I would say check out Chief State. Really, really amazing band. Let's see, who else can I mention? I'll mention one more band here. What was it? Make sure you also check out these local guys. They're pop punk. They're called Chaser Words. I've done shows with them for the last few years too. So check out. They got everything on, you know, like they have like a website. They got YouTube, everything. So you name it. Actually, list one more too from the island. I'm gonna meet with him later on today. They're called Tama Hills. They're from Nanaimo. And a really cool, like, metalcore band. And they even released, like, their own cover version of that song from the Aristocats. Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. So it's, like, this, like a heavy, like, metalcore version of it. Like,
oh, man.
You have to check that out. So, and the front man, Liam, great guy all around. Amazing front man. So, yeah, definitely a great band that you really want to see live when they come to Vancouver next time.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
And how can listeners keep up with everything that you're up to?
Okay, so I'll start with Cry of Silence first. So if you want to check out our music, we have an official website. It's cryofsilencemusic.com. All right. And, of course, all the links to our social media will be on there. But we also already have links to for you guys to listen to our EP, Community. And if you want to check out our live band karaoke of what we're all about, our website is rockkaraokelive.com. And so we can take a look at Some really cool pictures of past events and all that stuff, and the song list and everything. And so, yeah, that's pretty much the two main websites that I will mention.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Ed. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I should mention one more. So you can also follow me on Twitter, Eddie Lamb Music on Twitter. I'm also on YouTube, too. And actually, on my YouTube, I also put, like, I post, like, my own, like, covers. Like, going back to the whole thing I mentioned about piano, like, I've done, like my own piano version of Metallica's Unforgiven. And also a couple of Bring Me to Horizon songs, too. So, yeah, definitely worth checking out.
Cool. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
All right. So, our next headliner single for this episode comes from the experimental pop power trio We Are the City. This band has developed a reputation for pushing the envelope, and this cut from their latest record, At Night, goes in some unexpected directions. This is Mid-Tempo Drama.
She died in a mid-tempo drama. She was on vacation, she was in the sauna. She was a socialite, sure, but she fell on Mariah. Mariah Carey played in the background at the cabana. She tried to be cool, she tried to be sexy. She knew who she was. There's something wrong with you. I guarantee there's something wrong with all of you. Is there something wrong in your head? Or is there nothing new to do? Like a car crash right on cue. Like fashion always new. Like aging. Praise on youth. There's something wrong with you. She died in a mid-tempo drama. She died from a storm inside a piñata. Always in a dream, almost cold, Dalai Lama. Nirvana played loud in a full plexi tank like a runner. She tried to be true, she tried to be heartfelt. I don't think she was. There's something wrong.
we're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was the latest track from We Are the City, titled Midlife Crisis. Be sure to check out their latest record, At Night. It's really weird in a great way. So our featured guest for this week is indie folk pop singer-songwriter Stephanie Ratcliffe. Stephanie has been active in the Vancouver music scene for many years and has released two LPs along with her latest EP, Land in Unknown Places, earlier this year. Stephanie will be taking the stage for the very last Locals Lounge at the Belmont Bar on October 21st. Take a listen to Lionheart off of Stephanie's sophomore release, Things Above Ground.
Strong.
And we're... I can't hear myself. Hello? Okay, sorry about that. We're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio, and that was Lionheart by our featured guest. She's just joined us in the studio, Stephanie Radcliffe. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going, Stephanie?
Going great. Thanks for asking.
So, when did you realize that you wanted to seriously pursue music?
Seriously pursue it? Probably not until about 4 or 5 years ago. So I've been writing since I was probably about 16 years old, but for 20 years or so, I just didn't do anything with it or very much with it. And then, 4 or 5 years ago, I thought, you know what? It's time. I'm a bit of a late bloomer, I guess.
Was there kind of a initiating incident where you're like, okay, line in the sand, I have to do this or I'm never going to do this?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd moved to India as a missionary, and I had a breakdown basically while I was there. So I had thought I would be there for at least 3 years. I sold everything I had, just packed everything away and moved to Delhi. And then within 6 months, I got very, very sick. So I had to come back, and I was struggled with depression for probably about 2 years after that. And then in that time, I was deconstructed and then reconstructed. And in that time, I just realized that music was deep inside me. And especially when I was actually in India, I would sometimes just stay in my room for hours and just write music. And I realized that when everything else seemed like it was crumbling around me, I was still writing music. And so from that place, as I began to heal and get healthy again, I just realized that... I wanted to pass on that hope that I'd experienced to other people, and music was such a big part of that, getting that hope for me, that I thought I'm going to share my story or my stories with other people, and so that came through music.
Good stuff. What are some of the bands and artists that inspired you to start writing and performing your own music, and more recently inspired you to really pursue it?
I would say probably the one artist that really has impacted me, and especially in that time of really struggling with depression, is Patty Griffin. And she's a folk singer, and she's just a wonderful storyteller. And I think it was just through a number of her songs that she just has this way of expressing deep grief and sorrow, and then the hope on the other side of that, through stories, and that just really impacted me in my own life. And then from there, I write very differently than her, but I wanted to be able to hone into that same ability to tell a story that really connects with people and connects with their own experience. I think that's the beauty of music, is that, or at least some music, is that it can really speak to the listener's own experience, even though you don't know exactly what the singer's talking about, but it just connects somewhere deeply. And so she's really been a big influence on my life, just my life as a person. And then because I am also a musician, just having the desire to write in the same way that she would convey stories and emotion. I'm a huge fan of Gregory Alan Isakoff. Do you know?
Believe it or not, I don't.
You've got to look him up. He was actually just here last weekend at the Commodore. And another wonderful storyteller, and he really incorporates a lot of strings and that sort of thing into his music. And I'm a sucker for emotions in music, so just the ebb and flow. And so anyone who has very emotional content, I'm there. So he's one of those people that would do that. So, yeah.
I find, not to cheapen it or anything, but it's almost like you throw in some violin, throw in even a modest string section into a song, and just the emotion just gets like amplified. It's like
totally
emotional steroids for music.
Yeah, yeah.
String section. There you go.
Yeah. And the occasional flute. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. What, you don't think My Heart Will Go On is the
okay?
Most
that's
emotional
the exception. That's
song
the exception
ever written. Did you play in any other projects before pursuing a solo career, or is this really, this is the beginning point?
Actually, when I first started with music here in Vancouver, so I was extremely shy and I didn't have any confidence at all when I had the thought, oh, I want to share my songs with other people. And I had two good friends who were also musicians and still are. And so we, just in talking and in just jamming together, we had the idea that we would start a band. And so we started a band called Comb, C-O-M-B. And we played around Vancouver for about 3 months. And then we broke up, as most bands do. But that was kind of the start of, getting out, into cafes and pubs or whatever and sharing my music and getting some kind of response from people with the songs that I wrote and thinking, okay, well, maybe not totally crazy. Like, some people are connecting. And so that kind of got me started with the thought, once the band broke up, with the thought that maybe I should pursue something more like as a solo artist.
And did you write the majority of the music for Comb?
No, we're all singer-songwriters, so we all actually shared the job equally. So we would just write, we all wrote separately, but then we would bring songs to the band. And then so if we did a set, we would do three of each of us or something like that, or maybe one cover thrown in there. So it was all very equal across the board.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you hail from Toronto originally.
Timmins, actually.
Timmins.
Yeah.
I don't know where that is.
You don't know?
It's around in the GTA generally, right?
It's actually 8 hours north of Toronto.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's way up there. Actually, Shania Twain is from Timmins. If I can just name drop her on radio.
That is a name drop. We'll name drop Celine Dion and Shania Twain.
I know.
Off to a good start.
Within 10 minutes, it's amazing.
So, not from Toronto.
Not from Toronto.
Ontario, though, is right about the province.
Yes, you're right about the province. Yes.
Did you have the chance to perform in the city and surrounding towns in the GTA?
Yeah, actually, I've been there twice on tour now. And so I've played a couple of different venues in Toronto and then places like Scarborough and Guelph, Ottawa, like a bunch of Southern Ontario venues and house shows. And then 2 years ago, I actually got to go up to Timmins, to my hometown, and play a couple of house shows up there. And that was really, really thrilling because that's, just going home. And I wasn't playing music when I was growing up or not like this. And so when I did my first show there 2 years ago, no one knew that I was doing music. I mean, I've lived out here in Vancouver and BC for 14 or 15 years now. So it's, and it's newer in my life. And so I would ask them, I'd be like, hey, I'm coming for a show. And they would be like, a show, like a magic show or what do you mean a show? They had no idea that it was music. So that was fun just to kind of introduce that part of me to, old family and friends.
So did you, I guess, formative years, did you grow up and live in Timmins for like the majority of your adolescence, or did you spend any time in some of the bigger cities when you were younger?
No, I did all of my growing up for the most part in Timmins. Well, actually in a little town that's in the city of Timmins called South Porcupine. Actually, we got our mail in South Porcupine. I lived in Porcupine, but I went to high school and we got our mail in South Porcupine.
I know there was a city called Porcupine.
I'm learning so much
about Ontario geography. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's a very small community in, within the city of Timmins. But, yeah.
But that's just kind of Canada in general, right? There's like the big cities that everyone knows. And then there's hundreds, if not thousands, of tiny communities that no one's ever heard of unless you're from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very much Canadian. But, I had a very typical kind of Northern Ontario upbringing, played hockey on the road or on the lake behind my house every weekend and piles of snow and ice. And now I live here where there's no snow and ice. And that's part of the reason why I live here is I do not like the cold weather.
Well, I was just going to say, so you mentioned that you moved to Vancouver about 14, 15 years ago. Was it primarily the weather that made you decide to make the trek out west, or was there some other opportunities that you were pursuing?
When I moved out here, I actually moved to Langley when I initially moved out here, and it was to go to seminary at Trinity Western. So I did a master's degree there. And so my initial intent was to get my master's here and then to move on to, wherever I would go overseas. But then that was more expensive than I thought. And so I ended up working full-time and putting myself through school and that just took a lot longer to get the degree. And then from there, I ended up just working, and then, you know, I eventually went overseas, came back, and then moved to Vancouver after that time. But it was school that originally brought me out west, and just had always wanted to come out west, just had heard such amazing things with the mountains and beaches and whatnot, so, and the warmer weather. Yeah, and so I just came more for school and then have just stayed. So it's the best.
That tends to happen. I know. Plenty of people from as close as Alberta that just, they go to school here and they're like, well, why the hell would I go back to Alberta?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. No offense, Alberta or Ontario or anywhere else.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I got nothing against there. I like Vancouver.
Yes, me too. Love it.
Even if it is unreasonably expensive.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't you know?
Believe me, I know.
I guess that question. I was going to ask you about if you had any exposure to the music scene in Toronto, but I guess that might not.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, none.
All right. So, moving on.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. What are some of the themes that you tackle in your lyrics?
Oh, that's a good question. I think probably, so I kind of, my albums are kind of separated into different themes. So my very first album that I did called Memories of the World, it came out in 2015. That was really mainly about my experience with and struggle with depression. And so a lot of the songs in that album are different, tackling different angles of that experience that I had. But I like to think that there's still a lot of hope in that album, even though it is a little bit, I think lyrically a little bit darker. And then the album that I released in 2017, Things Above Ground, where the song that was just played, that one is a little bit more looking out and up as opposed to looking inside. And so, again, I think hope is definitely another theme that I tackle there. But I do kind of go outside of myself a little bit more. And one of the songs is about addiction that I wrote for a friend of mine. One of them is just a love song. Some of it's just about identity and finding purpose and who we are and that sort of thing. And then, yeah, and I mean, faith kind of lines a lot of my songs as well, my belief in God and how I see the world, you know, through those eyes and how I see other people and myself. And then the album I just released, well, it's a 3-song EP in July. That one is really about connection. So one of the songs is about loss and grief, so people who have passed away who we still feel connected to. One of them is just about prayer and how we don't know where our prayers go or where they land, but still finding hope in that. And then one of the songs, which I think you're playing at the end of this session, unless you've changed the order, is actually about loyalty and just sticking with people, the things that we can kind of plant in people's lives that are really unseen, like just the everyday things that we do for each other that we would call love, and how it often can feel like it's not doing anything, it's not changing anything, but over the years that can grow into something really beautiful and really strong. And thinking a lot about my parents, they've been married for 45 years. My grandparents were married for 61 years or something like that. And just like those really strong, long lasting relationships that I've seen in my own life and around me. And, yeah, just the beauty that can grow over time, between people. So connection.
Cover a lot of ground.
Yeah. I'm
things above
yeah.
it.
There you go. Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
And a snare roll. Travis. No. Okay.
One,
never
Travis?
Mind.
No.
No.
Okay. No.
We should get one.
Yeah. We should get sound effects at some point. So I wanted to delve into the releases that you've put out so far, but before that, we'd love to hear a song.
Okay. Just now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Travis.
Yeah?
Hey.
How's you doing?
Not too bad. I'm trying to fill in the air.
You guys don't have jokes that you give to each other when people are walking around the booth? No.
We haven't worked out any routines.
Jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Is Just even knock knock like something, you know.
No any jokes?
Believe it or not, I'm drawing a blank.
I have my guitar now.
Yeah, well, there you go.
We did it.
That was close.
We made it.
Oh, what a relief.
So what song are you going to play for us?
Okay, well, I'm going to play actually a song that I have, it's not recorded anywhere, so I just wrote it this year.
Exclusive,
yeah. And when I went on tour this summer, I played it quite a bit in some house shows and whatnot, and I like to play it, and I hope to record it someday, but when I was thinking about today, I thought, you know what, I'm going to play a song that I don't play that often, except for on tour.
And what's it called?
It's called No More Days. Do you want to know what it's about?
Yes, please.
Okay. this one is about a little bit about the Me Too movement. I think just maybe even broader than that, it's just about the experience that women have in the world. And I actually was reading this article right before I wrote it on women in Pakistan. And I know the experience there is similar to in India as well. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but women being raped and killed in their villages and no justice being served because the police are the ones who are doing the deed. And so just the current state of the world when it comes to women and their experience. And so, you know, how far we've come here in North America, but there are so many countries in the world that don't even have very basic rights for women. And so this song just kind of came out of that and came out of my own experience. And then it just went where it went as I was writing it.
All right.
So it's not heavy at all. So.
What is that? Is there a little bit of sarcasm?
A lot.
There,
or, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want me just to play it?
Yes, please.
All right. It's called No More Days.
Stephanie Radcliffe live in the studio.
I've become the shell of a woman. When you broke my name, and you don't hear, but my voice is coming. Though your ghost haunts my steps with shame. Day. Thank God it's over. Let the night roll on in and carve its way. I wanna breathe over Georgia, where I stood, where I'll stand on that day. Come home, so I'll wait no
You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Stephanie Radcliffe live in the studio with a unreleased song, which is pretty cool. Got a live exclusive that you just heard. So, one thing I noticed just going through the music that you've released so far, you included a short essay in the liner notes of your latest EP, Land in Unknown Places. Would you say that all the songs on this release are about growth in some way?
Yeah, there's an element of growth. I haven't thought about it in that way, actually. You bring up a good point.
I suppose that was just kind of my reading of it.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, I think when we come to acceptance of things and a deeper understanding, then hopefully there's growth. So, yeah.
Aha, nailed it.
Good one.
Yeah.
I have to write that down after.
Let's see. Daniel Klenner from the Space Studios produced your two most recent releases. What has he added as a collaborator on Things Above Ground and Land in Unknown Places?
Oh, wow. What can I say about Dan? Dan really took both of those releases to the next level. I mean, I'm by nature a songwriter. I love writing, learning to perform, learning to sing, all those things. But my heart is in the writing. And so I think the way that Dan and I have worked together and learned to work really well together is that I bring him my songs and the emotion attached to it and kind of what I kind of hear and see and where I would like it to go. And then Dan translates those words into instruments and just kind of, yeah, the cinematic feel that Things Above Ground had was very much just an organic kind of process of him and I working together on the songs. And he always says when we're recording, and he says this to everyone, you just always want to serve the song. And so you listen to the song and you kind of try to separate yourself from the actual song and what is the song, you know, asking to become and that sort of thing. It's a little bit of a mystical process, but we just really worked well together, I think. And he just kind of brought his, like, he plays so many instruments and he's got years of just making music experience, and as a producer, just an amazing ear for knowing how to translate emotion into instruments and just the ebb and flow that he brings in songs. And he loves pop music, so that was really new for me. I come from a little bit more of a folk world, and working with Dan, he brought a little bit of his pop talents in there, and I really loved it. I really loved what he ended up doing. So he's a drummer also. That's his first love, and so he really brings a lot of rhythm into the music as well, which I really loved.
Yeah, it was kind of on that. When it comes to how you've written and recorded both of your two most recent records, has it largely been you starting with just an acoustic guitar and then going into the studio and then it really getting fleshed out from there? Or have you had an idea in mind, like, oh, I want, you know, these sort of instruments on this song, or I want, you know, something like synth percussion, which becomes very prevalent on Things Above Ground?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some of it I did. Like, for the latest release I did, the song Come Alive, I knew I wanted that. I wrote it on guitar, but I knew I wanted it on, I wanted to record it with piano. So I do have a sense of the major instruments that I want highlighted. I knew I wanted lots of cello on Things Above Ground, which we had Brian Chan come into the studio, who's just an incredible cello player. And but I mean, even there, like, a lot of the instrumentals that you hear, that's Dan and Brian kind of just feeling out the music. You know, I didn't write some of those lines. You know, that was just them going with the song. And so I really trusted Dan a lot to bring that part of it in, because again, I write the lyrics and the basic parts of the song, and then he brought in some of the really magical moments, and hopefully I did too, but you know, we worked together on that. So yeah, some of it I have a sense of what I want, and other times I just say, what do you think, Dan, what are you hearing, and then we just talk about it and we start working on it together. But Dan, like I said, he loves pop, so all those synthesizers, like, a lot of that, I would express the emotion that I was trying to get out of the song, and then he would bring in a synthesizer and be like, oh, you mean like this? And I'd be like, yeah, that's exactly it. So that's him.
And it blends really, really well. And I'll admit, kind of unexpected for me, just first listening to your music, because, you know, more, as you mentioned, there's a strong folk undercurrent in a lot of your material, and usually
being general here, but usually you don't hear synth stuff nearly as much in that style of music.
Right. Yeah. I had to go home and think about it for a long time. I was like, is this the direction I want to go in? Because it was so much what I wasn't expecting when I started working on that project. But I loved it. And I loved the merging together of the synth and a little bit of the pop side of things with the cello, and we used some older instruments and some folk instruments, and we kind of brought these two worlds together. And I really loved how it turned out, and I thought Dan did a really good job. He mixed it as well. And so it was just mixing all those sounds together, because it can go wrong really fast too.
Especially with the wrong synth patch.
Yes, totally.
You hit the wrong button, and then it sounds like early Depeche Mode, and then
yes.
Just, oh no,
yeah,
disaster.
Yeah, exactly.
House has collapsed.
Exactly.
How would you say your sound has evolved with each release, kind of on that? I noticed that your two most recent releases are kind of, in some respects, more sonically lush than your first album.
Mm-hmm.
You also weren't working with Dan at that time, but...
Yeah, I think, I don't know if this is true about other musicians, but your first album, that's just you being like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get over myself and all my fear and try this. And so because I'm a singer-songwriter, I write mostly with guitar, a little bit of piano there too. My first album was just kind of like, I just got to get this out and try it. And I worked with John Anderson, a really fantastic producer out in the Valley. And that's what we did. We kind of made more of a folk album. I really wanted some accordion in there, that sort of thing. But once I kind of got that album out, I really wanted to start to try to experiment a little bit and see what else was out there and what other ways my songs could come to life. And that's why I hired Dan. I had heard some of his stuff previously and just kind of felt like we'd be a good fit. But he wasn't too far out there that it would just totally not be me. And that's always a tricky balance too, right? You still want it to sound like you, and yet you want to try new things. And then this last little EP I did, I wanted to bring a choir in, so we brought a choir into the studio. So two of the three songs have just a bunch of my friends who can sing very well. Brought them into the space studio, and I really just wanted... the first one was about prayer, and so I wanted to have that gospel kind of feel, which choirs always or can bring. And then we just threw them on the last song as well, because they sounded so good. So... yeah, I just wanted to try a couple of new things. I love piano, and so I really wanted to bring more piano into this last release as well. And I'm hoping for my next album that I can actually bring that even more in. I love piano. I love Keane and Coldplay and all those bands that just have good piano. So
piano-driven stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's funny talking about another strain, brand, type of emotional steroids. Throwing a choir on a song.
Oh, yeah, yep. Totally. Yes.
There you go.
There you go. I guess I love the emotional steroids, but what can I say? Yeah.
That's the phrase of the episode.
There you go.
I guess. You were able to record and release Land in Unknown Places thanks in part to funding from Factor. What is one piece of advice you give to a band or artist that is looking to pursue grant funding, and why should they pursue grant funding?
I would say... keep trying. I got my Factor grant with my third try. So I was rejected the first two times and just did it again and took, they always, they give you a little bit of advice when they tell you, sorry, not this time. And then I emailed them back and what can I do to improve for the next time? And so did that twice. And then third time I got it. And so I think just persistence. I know people who try and try and they never get it, so it doesn't always work, but I'm really grateful that after three tries I was able to get a grant. And honestly, I think it's just it just made me feel like someone else believed in me besides my family and friends and my community here, just having the government or people who have to decide if they want to give money to you, if they hear something that they think is worth giving money to, that's just a confidence booster right there. So I think that really that really helped me kind of go, okay, I can take myself more seriously maybe than I even have been. Somebody else believes in what I'm making, and that's a good thing.
Definitely. We mentioned earlier on the program that you are the 2018 recipient of the Western Canadian Music Award for Spiritual Artist of the Year. What's your reaction been like to this news?
I'm still a little bit in shock, actually. I just found out on Thursday. So, I mean, yeah, very, very surprised. Did not ever expect to get an award in anything. I think really, really grateful. I don't really even know what it means, or I haven't really fully processed it yet. But I'm very, very grateful to Breakout West and, yeah, just the industry and to the people that voted. It's all members of provincially of all the different music associations. So again, it just makes you feel really thankful. People again hear something and believe in what you're doing and hopefully want to hear more. And that's just a really special thing. And so I just feel really, really humbled and grateful for that opportunity and that yes.
And on that, how did you get selected as one of the recipients for that category?
Yeah, well, so back in, I think it's in December or January, I don't quite remember, I applied to, so Breakout West has showcases, and so every year artists all over Western Canada would apply to do a showcase, and so I also applied, and the competition is very, very stiff. And then in that application, you also can apply for a nominee to be nominated for. There's a whole bunch of categories. So I just kind of took a look at my music and what I've been making and felt like the Spiritual Artist of the Year category was probably the one that I fit in the best. I'm not really pop. I'm not really adult contemporary. Like there's just, you know, I think this is probably the one that I fit in the best. And so I checked that box.
What made you decide spiritual over, say, like, folk, for example?
They don't have a folk category.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
So that's why I decided. Yeah. Yeah. I think they have like, you know, like blues and rock and pop and that sort of thing, but they don't have folk. So I couldn't. Yeah.
Hmm. It kind of on that. I mean, genres only mean so much. They tend to matter more for music dorks like me that like to categorize stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, do you consider yourself like a spiritual artist in that kind of the more general understanding of what that genre means? I mean, your music's not, there's certainly themes connected to, you know, your relationship with God and prayer and stuff like that, but it's not nearly as explicit as, say, you're going to hate me for the example,
oh no,
but like Hillsong or something
okay.
like that. Where
hey,
it's
you know
like,
Hillsong. Impressive.
Yep. I know who they are.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
say I listen to them actively, yeah. but...
No, I don't either. But no offense, Hillsong or Ontario.
They forgive you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And actually, when I was at Breakout West, a number of people asked me, like, what is the Spiritual Artist of the Year? Like, and I don't totally know what Breakout West defines it as. I think for me, the way that I understood it was just musicians who write music that come from a place of faith in some way. And so even though they're not explicitly maybe talking about their faith or like, so I'm a Christian and so I'm not explicitly saying Jesus or, you know, like Hillsong would be doing. But a lot of my songs are still informed by a faith. And I use a lot of even like some biblical imagery, although it's not overtly all the time. And so
I didn't really, unless I wasn't listening to the lyrics, I didn't hear any references to shepherds or lambs or anything like that.
No, but I do talk about tabernacles. No, I'm kidding. no shepherds, no lambs. I think just more like, different stories that you'd hear. And one of the songs that I'll be playing later in the Snug performance, you know, talks about, it's the parting of the Red Sea, but you wouldn't almost know it unless you knew that I was telling you, you know, but I think I use a lot of my understanding of life comes because of my faith. And so that just kind of weaves its way into my lyrics, but it's not, like you said, it's not obvious all the time.
Yeah. I didn't hear any even references to a higher power directly. Cause that just
yeah.
something I've thought about because I come from that background.
Okay.
I will say I'm not a practicing Christian at the moment,
yeah.
but I do have familiarity with some of the music and kind of more how some of it can be direct to the point where it's kind of like
yeah,
whacking
yeah.
you over the head with,
yes.
this song's about how I love God.
Right, yeah, there's no whacking in my music. yeah, and yet I do, like, a couple of the songs, even on Things Above Ground, are directed towards God.
Mm-hmm.
But not, again, not... not overtly. And I don't do that on purpose. It's just how I write. Like I like poetry. I like expressing things in certain ways. It's not intentional, but, yeah, I guess there's definitely a spiritual theme. And people who I'm friends with who would not even call themselves Christians or would practice any kind of faith, like they'll say that they sense something spiritual in my music. So that's always interesting to me, because even though we don't even share the same faith or understanding, there's still something that we can connect with on a level that's beyond just our intellect or whatever. And so I think and I hope that that also comes through my music, is there's something else going on that we're different in, but we're also similar. We have spirits, if you believe that, which I do. But
yeah. Well, and it's funny in that, in some respects, that you can make the argument that, quote unquote, secular bands like, say, U2 or Pearl Jam have, you can make the argument that some of their music's spiritual, even though it's not, it may or may not be coming from any sort of direct place for the songwriter.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about that category, is that I think all the other categories are more genre-based, not about lyrical content, and yet the spiritual artist of the year is more, I think, about lyrical content. But it's not really a genre, it's just what you're saying, right? And
yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right, like U2, a lot of people actually, whether or not they would acknowledge it, I mean, we all believe in something. And so if we write, if musicians are honest in how they write, and if they're writing more about their experience, which a lot of musicians do, then there is probably a spiritual element to their writing, because they're being honest and their understanding of spiritualism, whatever it is informing that. So I think, yeah, you're right. It can be a very broad kind of, isn't everyone kind of spiritual? But yeah.
Just interesting category. And
yeah,
like, oh,
totally.
That's the box that makes the most sense.
So yeah.
But you won. So
I won.
There you go.
So there you go. I'm grateful.
Pick the right box. No, but... Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic to hear.
Thank you.
Let's see. We'd love to hear another song.
Okay. Let me grab my guitar, and that gives you guys a chance to tell jokes to each other.
Okay, Travis, please. You got something.
Why can't you tell a pun to a kleptomaniac?
Why is that?
Because they take everything literally.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's actually really good.
Thank you. I stole it.
Do you want me to just wait a little bit longer so you can do another one?
That's
only one off the top of your head.
All right. Okay, well, this song is called These Implicated Dreams, and it's off of the Things Above Ground album. And this one is... Well, I'll just kind of leave most of it shrouded in mystery, so the lyrics can do the talking.
So we can get the implied meaning?
Yeah. But this one's about... materialism and greed.
Another heavy topic.
Another heavy topic.
Sweet. All right. This is Stephanie Radcliffe live in the studio.
I wonder how we got from the firing squad to the other end, back again. Smoke rings from our pipes, circling like birds, preying on our life. Thirst is alive, thirst is alive, to tell you what you want. Thirst takes no sides, thirst takes no sides, be careful what you want. The skies are changing now, the axis of the earth, tilting with the times. We're building with our left and crashing with our right, while moving all the lines. Thirst is alive, thirst is alive, to tell you what you want.
pants under my suit and stiletto high boots. Is there someone to save me from all that has changed me? A fire escape door from the cancer of alive to tell you what you want. Thirst takes no sides. Thirst takes no sides. Be careful what you want. Pages fast with fingers that have bled these implicated dreams.
You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Stephanie Radcliffe with These Implicated Dreams. So you've performed solo and with a full band on a number of different occasions. Do you have a preference for one lineup configuration or the other?
I like them both. I mean, they both come with their challenges and their joys. I think playing solo is often more in smaller spaces, especially house shows. And I love house shows, and I love the connections that you can have with people in house shows. And so, yeah, there's just something about, you know, someone with their guitar playing songs to people and the way that you can interact that way. But playing with a band, like I just said, for this past EP, I did a band show, and I actually played through the new EP and the one I released last year. And for that was the first time I'd ever played it with a full band, with like kind of the way that we did it on the album. And that was just incredible. To get to play with, you know, I think there's like a 7-piece band. We had a choir, and we just kind of did the whole thing. And I didn't even have to play guitar for like half of it. I could just sing, and that's a new experience for me. And so that was just really thrilling. So, but then of course it's way more work to kind of get together a band that's tight. So, yeah, they both have their pros and cons. But I would say I would like to get back into playing with a band more. I think I've missed it, and so I'm kind of thinking going into next year, I'll start to pursue that a bit more.
Cool. And as you kind of mentioned, as a solo artist, you have some flexibility in terms of the types of venues you can play, like coffee shops, restaurants, and proper theaters. Do you have a favorite type of venue that you like to play? Or do you feel that a certain type of venue suits your music the best more than others?
Yeah, I mean, house shows definitely are my absolute favorite. I love playing in people's living rooms or rec rooms. And I think that suits my music very well, too. Not even totally sure why it does. I just know that the feedback I get with those shows and the interaction I have with people from those shows is just unlike any other venue that I've played. So that's my absolute favorite, for sure.
What has been your most memorable show to date?
Wow. I think probably, can I say two similar reasons? One I did up in, I think it was in Smithers or Terrace. I don't quite remember. It was a rec room show. This was a couple years ago. And then the other one I just did this past summer in Perth, Courthouse, Bruce and Sharon. And again, in a rec room. And I think it's just all about the connections that you make with people. And I don't know that, it's just kind of like the particular night where you're on, and the people that are there are just really ready and wanting to kind of receive what you have to give, and they give back as well as you're kind of performing. And you just have these like really incredible connections with people while you're playing. And This one woman that was sitting in front of me, she cried the whole time. Now, I don't know if that was all good. And then one song I did near the end, it was actually about my struggle with depression, one of the songs on my first album. And I could just tell that she was really with me and just knew what I was talking about. And then after, we just had a really neat exchange and conversation. And I think it's moments like that where that's why I play music, is to get to share my stories and hear other people's stories and have that, make that connection with people that you know you're not alone and they know they're not alone. You know, we all have those similar experiences and getting to kind of talk about things that aren't always talked about, but through music. And I think music just has a really powerful way of getting beyond those barriers that we have up as people and just speaking truth into those places. And I think, you know, if it can be done right and with sensitivity, it can be a really powerful thing. And those two shows, I think, both had that powerful element of beyond me, beyond my music, just that connection, that human connection with people.
Yeah, just like the immediacy right in your face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What are some of your goals looking ahead into 2019?
I'd love to do a little tour in Western Canada. I've never played in Alberta or Saskatchewan or Manitoba, only BC, and then skipped out to Ontario and the East Coast. So I would love to start playing in those provinces a little bit more. So I'm hoping to do a spring tour out that way. And then beyond that, I really just want to spend time writing. I feel like the last couple of years, because I've done two releases in a row, that's obviously just lots of work and really busy. And you just kind of, you have so much work to do that you can't focus on writing. And so I'm really excited to spend next year with the focus of sitting down and just writing songs. And that's my first love. So that really makes me feel excited.
Sounds like you got a lot going on. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any local bands or artists that you would recommend we bring on the show for a future episode?
Yeah, definitely. One of my good friends, Bree McDaniel, who I tour with once a year. She's actually just releasing an album at the end of this month, her first full length. And I have no doubt you will love chatting with her and hearing her music. And another good friend of mine, Jenny Benet, she's also working on an album for next year, but another beautiful singer-songwriter. And
I saw her at Mural Fest. She was great.
Yeah. Okay. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Jenny. Yeah. Bring her in. She would be great
definitely
to talk to.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So that's two. You want some more?
You got one more.
Have you ever talked to Jordan Clausen?
The name? No.
No.
Okay. Right. Name rings a bell, though.
Yeah. He was Big Intruder, I think, was his last release.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's one of my inspirations. Like, I've loved his music for years, and I love how he writes. And yeah, I think he would be great to have in. He's got a good story to tell too, and just a wonderful songwriter and musician. So there's three.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
the list never gets shorter.
No, I'm sure
it always gets bigger.
You guys will have a job for forever.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. That's the dream.
Yeah. So how can listeners check out your music and keep up with everything you're doing?
I am on Spotify and Apple Music and iTunes, and I'm thinking Amazon, but I've never checked. So I probably should check.
Hypothetically on Amazon.
Yeah, someone asked me that a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, I think so, but I don't even know what Amazon Music is. So
I don't know.
Does anyone know? But anyway, it's a thing.
I didn't know Amazon had a streaming service.
I didn't know either, but apparently they do. So do you know?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, all the places where you would stream, Bandcamp as well, is in there. And then my website is stephanieratcliffe.com. That is, can I spell my last name? Is that okay?
Yep.
My first name too, because it's, okay, I'll just spell it.
Yeah, just spell
okay.
it.
Okay. Stephanie. Ratcliffe is RATCLIFF. The reason why I spell it is because people get it confused with Radcliffe, which is Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter, and then they search the wrong thing, and I don't want that to happen. So,
I have a similar problem with my last name.
What's
spelled Olson, not Olsen.
Ah, yes,
like Elizabeth or Mary Kate or Ashley.
Yeah, see the twins.
Yeah, the twins, and then their more talented, younger sister.
I don't know her.
Elizabeth.
Yeah,
she's been in a few different things. She's She plays Scarlet Witch in some of the Avengers movies.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I had no idea.
She's been in a few other different films. She played, I don't remember the character's name, but I like to call her Boring Nurse Wife in the Godzilla movie.
Boring Nurse Wife.
I had some issues with that film, as you can tell.
Yeah, I mean, you just got really angry, so yeah. It's...
That's a whole other conversation.
He gets angry about that a lot.
No, I don't.
Brings it up daily.
I do not bring up the Godzilla movie every day.
Every second day. I haven't seen it, so you're saying see it.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing you say. Definitely see that movie.
Godzilla. A+.
I wish it was more Bryan Cranston in that movie, but...
And less of the... What is it? The nurse?
Boring nurse wife and boring soldier husband.
Oh,
the two main characters.
Classic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, website, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, although I do not tweet. I just, like, you know how on Instagram you can post to other sites?
Yeah.
I just do that, and it's really bad and annoying to people. But
I think my band does that, too, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
I think more bands are using Facebook and Instagram anyhow.
I think so, yeah. Although at this conference I was just at, Breakout West, they were saying that, yeah, tweeting is still very relevant. So I was like, ah, oh, I should do that. I don't know what to tweet. What do you talk about? I don't know. We can talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
we'll trade some pointers.
There you go.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. We look forward to seeing you at the Snug tonight.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It was really fun talking with you.
Definitely. Thanks for listening. We're your hosts, James Olson.
And Travis Noel.
Pacific Sound Radio is produced by Jane Fraze. Travis, how can people keep up with what we're doing?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook, Pacific Sound Radio, as well as our Instagram, at Pacific Sound Radio. Twitter, we're Pacific S Radio. YouTube, Pacific Sound Media, as well as our website, PacificSoundRadio.com.
If you know a local band or artist that you think should appear as guests on our show, let us know. Fill out the form on our website or send us an email to talkpsr@gmail.com. As always, we are live on the air every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m., only on Save On Radio. Here is one last song by Stephanie Ratcliffe. This is her latest single, Come Alive. We plan.